Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still studying together some of the verses of Quran chapter 7. Let me remind you, we are in the story of Moses. Today we'll look at what is written in Quran chapter 7 verses 127 and Quran chapter 28 verses 4 through 7. First, let us look together at what is written in verse 127 of Quran chapter 7 concerning the killing of Pharaoh to the Israelites. For there we read, "And the leaders from the people of Pharaoh said, 'Will you let Moses and his people to vandalize in the land and desert you and your gods?' He said, 'We will kill their sons and spare their women, and surely we are dominant over them.'" Now let us read together what is written in Quran chapter 28 verses 4 to 7. "For there we read, 'Surely Pharaoh exalted himself in the land and made its people into sects, weakening a group of them, slaughtering their sons and sparing their women. Surely he was of the Vandals, and we desired to show favor to those who were weakened on the earth and to make them leaders and to make them the heirs and to establish them in the land. And we showed Pharaoh and Haman and their troops among them what they were fearing. And we revealed to Moses' mother that breastfeed him. So when you fear for him, so cast him into the river and do not fear and do not grieve. Surely we will bring him back to you and make him of the messengers.'" Notice here, once again, as we mentioned before, when Muslims read the Quran, they are not studying the Quran. They simply read the Quran. Worse than that, many of the scholars of Islam, they don't only read the Quran, they actually memorize the Quran without understanding what they memorize. But if we have the eye of a student, or if we are using our logic and common sense, we will discover that there is always contradictions all over the passages of the Quran. And let me remind you that Allah's word in the Quran is very clear. When he stated, "You do not consider the Quran if it is from others than Allah," they would have found in it many inconsistencies. As if there is only few consistencies, it's okay. But in any way, when we examine the Quran, for sure we'll find many inconsistencies. For example, here, as we just have read, in Quran chapter 7 and verse 127, the leaders of Pharaoh were warning Pharaoh about Moses and his people, that they were vandalizing in the earth, and that they are not believing in the gods of Pharaoh. And the answer of Pharaoh to his leaders that he can take care of that problem is very simple, that they will kill the sons of Moses' people, and they will spare their women. And that's how Pharaoh will dominate over the children of Israel. So how old was Moses when Pharaoh decided to kill the babies of the Hebrews? Oh, he was a grown-up man. After all, the Quran is very clear that Pharaoh is talking about Moses' people. But when we went back together to that which is written in Quran chapter 28, verses 4 to 7, we'll see that Pharaoh exalted himself in the land. Not any of his people was warning him about what is going on concerning the growth of the children of Israel, but he himself just decided to be an exalted king or ruler over the land. So what did he do? He controlled a group of people of his land. That sect of people, Muhammad did not tell us who are they? But a normal person with logic will figure out that Muhammad here is talking about the Hebrews in Egypt. And he weakened that sect of people in his land by simply killing or slaughtering their sons and sparing their women. And I'm surprised, why did he use the word women instead of the word daughters? Since he's only killing the children. So it's the logic and the common sense that Allah should have said in the Quran that he killed the sons and saved the daughters. But somehow Muhammad used the word women instead of daughters. But as you continue with the story in Quran chapter 28, here is the introduction of Moses' mother in verse 7. When Allah said, and we revealed to Moses' mother that breastfeed him. So when you feed for him, so cast him into the river. Wow. So that killing of the sons and the saving of the women, as Muhammad said in the Quran, took place when Moses was just a baby. He was born during the crisis of Pharaoh dominating all over the land and weakening the Jewish people. So the question we must ask here is this. When did Pharaoh kill the sons of the Israelites? Was it when Moses was a grown-up man, as we have read in Quran chapter 7, verse 127? Or when Moses was a little baby, as we just have read in Quran chapter 28, verses 4 to 7. This is a huge contradiction. But sadly, Muslims do not know how to discover these errors. But when they do, that is when they say goodbye to Allah, to Muhammad, and to the miracle of Islam, the miracle of Muhammad, which is the Quran. Now, if we go together to the book of Exodus, chapter 1 and verse 16, we'll see the true biblical account written by the hand of Moses himself, long time before Muhammad, which stated the following. Let us begin by verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrews' midwives, of whom the name of one was Shephrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, notice here that Moses used the word daughter, not a woman, because women do not birth women, they just simply birth daughters. Then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. That story here and these actions of Pharaoh concerning the annihilation of the male children of the Hebrews took place before Moses was born. And that is what we read later in the book of Exodus chapter 2. Notice the details of the story as it is recorded in the account of Exodus. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dipped it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Who is that child? That was Moses. So obviously, biblically, we know that the killing of the infant boy babies took place before Moses was born and also during the life of the early days of Moses, not when Moses was a grown-up man later in his 80s, as Muhammad erroneously wrote in the Quran. Well, let's move on to another important and I can see a huge error in the Quran. Because if Muhammad did not get the point I'm about to share with you from the life and the ministry of Moses, that means neither Muhammad nor his angel Jibreel or his God Allah have a clue who was Moses and what was his mission. You see, in Quran chapter 7 and verses 128 and 129, we read the following. Moses said to his people, "Seek assistance with Allah and be patient. Surely the earth is Allah's. He will bequeath it to whom he wills of his servants, and the end to the fearer." They said, "We have been oppressed before you came to us and after you came to us." He said, "Perhaps your Lord will destroy your enemy and will make you his viceroy in the land, so he will see how you do." I'm amazed that Muhammad would put such error in the pages of the Quran. Because a simple reading to the Bible will show us that the mission of Moses was not to go to Egypt and perform some miracles. It was not for him to go to Egypt to inherit the land of Egypt, nor, as Muhammad stated in the Quran, to lead Pharaoh and his leaders into Islam to become believers in Allah. But his mission was very simple, which is to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. That is not what we can understand from reading the passages of the Quran which Muhammad inserted concerning Moses. Not only was this the thoughts of Moses according to the Quran, but that's exactly what Pharaoh himself believed. Remember in our last broadcast, when Pharaoh accused his sorcerers to be playing this role of deception to get the people of Egypt out of the city, which means what? They were working with Moses to help Moses to take over the land of Egypt. That's not the case in the Bible at all.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Let me remind you of what took place in the life of Moses when God called him for his mission to go back to Egypt from the land of Midian. Remember, Moses saw the burning bush and he saw that this is a very interesting thing to see. Now he's walking towards the burning bush to look closer to learn about that miraculous work, that the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. In verse 4 of Exodus chapter 3, we read, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he," that is the Lord, "said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Notice he did not say to give them the land of Egypt, but God said to Moses to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land. He meant the land of Egypt, to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I think that is very clear message, very clear English. Anyone who read it will understand that the mission of Moses was simply to take the children of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt to their own promised land. That's not what Muhammad understood in the Quran. He actually thought that Moses and his people will inherit the land of Egypt according to the saying of Pharaoh and according to the saying of Moses. Now let me read to you what Moses and Aaron told Pharaoh as we go together to the book of Exodus chapter 5. For there we read, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Notice God wanted Moses to tell Pharaoh what? The answer is very simple. Let my people go to the wilderness to worship me. That is the mission of Moses. As God stated, and as Moses and Aaron repeated that message to Pharaoh. And as we'll see in our next broadcast, throughout the rest of the 10 plagues which God have brought on Pharaoh and his people, the Egyptians, you see that every time God punished Pharaoh and his people, the Egyptians, it was very simple for the purpose of let the children of Israel go out of the land of Egypt that they may serve God. Not as Muhammad stated in the Quran by Pharaoh and by Moses. Now I want to take us back to that which we have read in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 128. Moses said to his people, seek assistance with Allah and be patient. Surely the earth is Allah's. He will bequeath it to whom he wills of his servant and the end to the fear. Once again, that's what Moses said, which means he actually believed that the Hebrew people would inherit the land of Egypt. Notice what we read in verse 129. They said, we have been oppressed before you came to us and after you came to us. What was Muhammad talking about? Once again, he was just simply copying from the Bible, that is Exodus chapter 5, and inserted in the Quran with different words. And Muslims will have no idea what Muhammad is talking about. What do the Jewish people mean by saying, we have been oppressed before you came to us and after you came to us? The answer for that is we have to go back to the book of Exodus chapter 5, beginning from verse 19. For you see, when Moses and Aaron went and spoke with Pharaoh and told him that they want to take the children of Israel out of Egypt to the wilderness that they may worship God, Pharaoh said that you're just lazy and you're making this excuse to go out to sacrifice and to worship to the Lord. You're not working hard. You're just making all the people who are supposed to be working also slow in their work. Therefore, we read that Pharaoh gives the order that the children of Israel will make the same amount of bricks, but the Egyptians will not supply the straw to make the bricks, which means now the Hebrews have to work harder to bring the straw and mix it with the mud to make the bricks. And notice what we read in verse 19. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, "You shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota." Notice what we have in verse 20 and 21. That is where Muhammad copied his verses in the Quran, that they were oppressed before Moses went to them and they're oppressed after Moses went to them. Here is the true words of God. Exodus chapter 5 from verse 20 to verse 22. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses. Who are these? The leaders of the children of Israel. Those who were put in charge to make sure that their own people make the right amount of bricks to please King Pharaoh. And they said to them, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us." That is why they were upset with Moses and Aaron, because instead of Pharaoh, let the children of Israel leave to the wilderness to worship and sacrifice to their God, he actually punished them, forcing them to make the same amount of brick, except that he will never give them any straw anymore. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.